he is helping us continue or promulgate an important conversation. While his legislation doesn't match the one that the department proposed, that the administration proposed, it helps us to address the same problem, which is that both the Congress and DOD is facing. We have a mismatch between resources and requirements. One of the ways to address that is to get rid of waste. And we see the funding of support for excess facilities and excess bases as essentially a tax on the warfighter and a tax on readiness. There is one way to solve that problem in the medium term. Let's not pretend that this is going to save money this year or anything. But it'll save money in the medium term is base closure. We are talking about a process which has saved money in the past, which today is saving us literally billions of dollars from the previous five BRAC rounds, in the order of $12 or $13 billion a year of money that we don't have to try and find for this year's budget, because we've closed bases in the past and we've gotten rid of that waste and that excess in the past. We think it's prudent, and I think it's fair to say that it would be irresponsible of us not to raise the BRAC issue. Mr. Smith is bringing up legislation that has some more constraints on it than we might have proposed ourselves, but I think it's important to have that conversation. We need to hear from Congress what it is that they would need fixed in the rules of the road, as it were, for a future BRAC round. I understand that his legislation includes things like it has to pay back in a certain period of time, et cetera, et cetera. And that addresses one of the key problems with the last BRAC round, which is the example that everybody uses in opposing the BRAC round. It's the convenience example. The last BRAC round, the 2005 BRAC round, cost the department $35 billion and has resulted in recurring savings of $4 billion a year. That's a fairly long payback, and in all honesty, the department would not be able to afford a $35 billion BRAC round today. But in looking at the details from the last BRAC round, what we found was that fundamentally the cost was driven by one key fact, that we were willing to accept recommendations that did not save money. There were, in fact, roughly half of the recommendations either didn't save money at all or saved money in more than 7 years. These recommendations were made for management reasons. There are certain things you can only do when you're acting under BRAC authority, and the department deemed it responsible and, in fact, recommended several actions that essentially cost us. However, the other half of the recommendations were designed to save money. They were for efficiency. And that half of the recommendations cost only $6 billion of the $35 billion and resulted in $3 billion of the $4 billion in recurring savings each year. So in other words, if we had only done those, we would certainly have paid back quickly. And I think the bottom line there is that if we intend to save money, we do.
So how do you this time around propose to do more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff that didn't get you the return on investment that you wanted?
First, I wouldn't characterize it as good and bad.
Fair enough.
There are some that we had actions that were designed for efficiency and actions that were designed for transformation. We were essentially management actions. This time around, we don't have the money. This time around, we're asking for BRAC because we don't have the money, because we are looking at the long-term fiscal situation of the department. The individual decisions would still be made based on military value, but the reason that we're asking for the BRAC round is because of our fiscal straits. If we're in those fiscal straits, we're going to have a more difficult time coming up with the upfront investment to do those more transformative types of initiatives.
The markup that's happening today is happening as we speak, and so when this airs, we will know more than we do as we sit here today, Mr. Secretary. But do you have an expectation of at least what the threads of discussion will be in the markup today? Certainly the result depends on where the action goes, but we have a sense, especially of what Chairman McKeon has said. No BRAC round this time around. When he said that, though, and I'm paraphrasing his words, but when he said that, with that this time around, left maybe a potential, possible, kind of, sort of, maybe opening. Are you optimistic, pessimistic, no opinion about what the opening may or may not be?
I'll take whatever opening I can get. And let's be clear. I am not advocating BRAC for the sake of BRAC, because BRAC is an inherently good thing. BRAC is a painful process. Any base closure is a painful process for the communities that have to be subject to the analysis and who have to live with the closure in and of itself. Heck, even some communities who have experienced growth have had growing pains, as it were, trying to come up with the transportation or the schools or whatever to accommodate the increased presence. It's not a simple thing. Change is hard. But that said, am I optimistic that there's going to be BRAC legislation and BRAC authority passed this year? No, I think I'm realistic about it. But I think that where we are today is far better than we were a year ago. I think today you're looking at a house mark that starts the conversation and, frankly, the BRAC process. I will note that while it says there's no authority for a BRAC round in that bill, it tells us to do the force structure analysis, the infrastructure analysis, to analyze the capacity, which is the first steps of a BRAC round, even if it doesn't go so far as to say we can conduct a BRAC round. So, in fact, it saves us time and preserves us the options to go for a BRAC in 2017. Which is what the administration's request is. So I take that as a positive development. Secondly, we have now the first entry into the conversation where we're saying, well, how would you change the authority? With Mr. Smith's legislation, he has several things in that bill that I'm not sure the department would necessarily buy. But it helps us have that conversation. I think it's important to do that. I think it's more restrictive than the last BRAC legislation, but it would be, wouldn't it? And you can't expect the department to be full-throated in defense of being further restricted. But it starts a conversation, and it's an important conversation. And I think the other piece about BRAC is to remember that it is part of a larger conversation that is about the overall budget restrictions on the department and how the heck it's going to get to balance in that budget without decimating readiness or benefits or any of these other pieces. There are some cuts and efficiencies and restrictions that are going to have to be made across the board in order to balance that budget. And there are unpleasant choices. And that's what BRAC authority is. It's an unpleasant choice. But what's really critical here is to recognize that it is not a choice between whether or not you have a BRAC round or not. Because that, in and of itself, is a simple political decision. Most members will look at that choice and say, I don't like BRAC. Therefore, I'm against it. Mm-hmm. But the real choice is, in the absence of BRAC, what happens? Well, we are still looking at force structure cuts. We're still looking at operating cuts. We're looking at the situation where you're going to have undermanned and underfunded bases across the country. Bases that those local communities count on for as an economic engine will be operating at reduced strength. When you reduce the maintenance of your buildings, that means less work for the carpenters and the plumbers and et cetera out in the community. When you reduce the number of people at that base, because we're having force structure cut decisions, you know, that are going on right now, then you have less economic output into the community. if taken to an extreme, you have a base that isn't producing economic output and, by the way, isn't on the property tax rolls, and so the local community gets a double whammy. That's what you're looking at, and in the absence of any sort of closure action, you're simply going to have excess infrastructure that will become more and more apparent. BRAC authority is the authority to conduct an analysis that has three key pieces. One is a capacity analysis. Where do you have excess? You have to start from scratch and treat all bases equally, or else anybody who gives you that authority is going to sniff out that they're in the crosshairs. Second, you have to do a military value analysis. That military value analysis says base A is better than base B, based on the numeric and qualitative and quantitative assessment that you do. Why is that important? Well, let's say for the sake of discussion that base A is a higher military value based on your analysis, but base B is full and base A is empty. Without that analysis, you might just close the empty base, even though it's more important to you as an enterprise. Mm-hmm. What this analysis does is it allows you to look at not where you have excess and what's more important for you to keep, so that you can look at the third phase, which is the scenarios where you would actually take all of the pieces that are in the full base but is less military value and move them to the empty base so you can keep the one that's most important to you. That's why we don't have a list, because any list you generated today might look at what's empty. But what's empty isn't necessarily what you'd want to lose.
So the underlying principle, it sounds like, there is that there is no way to draw any kind of parallel between force size and what could potentially happen in a round of BRAC.
No, I think that there's no way to draw a parallel between where you would cut forces today and what you would close in a round of BRAC. There's a difference and a distinction there. Okay. If lower force structures and force structure cuts add pressure to the requirement for BRAC. Mm-hmm. If you have larger force structure cuts, it becomes more and more apparent that you need to close bases because you're just, or either that or you're just carrying excess that will lead to bigger holes in the budget, that will lead to more force structure cuts. And it's a cycle. You know, it just feeds back upon itself and creates larger problems. Infrastructure does follow force structure. So as cuts occur there, you have to rationalize it, and you have to have the infrastructure cuts as well.
But the percentage cuts or some kind of equation doesn't necessarily follow the other.
Excess will follow.
Uh-huh.
So remember, there's the three pieces. So excess capacity that will follow force structure cuts. As you build scenarios, you don't necessarily want to eliminate every ounce of excess capacity that you have. There are lots of reasons why you might want to retain some excess, but you want to be able to analyze it and do it where it makes sense. The reduction of excess in the Defense Department is not so simple as defragging your disk drive. Okay, not all pieces can fit into any empty space. There are units that have to stay together. There are larger units that have to stay together, and we have to do it in a rational and analytical way.
Secretary Hammock in the Army and Secretary McGinn in the Navy have talked to me about some efforts that they're making in Europe and some drawdowns that they've done there. And I wonder what lessons you are taking from their efforts that you've brought from their branches to the OSD level that can apply here. In the States.
Sure. A couple years back, one of the arguments against BRAC was that we should cut bases overseas first. The reductions in force structure in Europe led to a logical conclusion that we should analyze the European infrastructure for additional reductions in efficiencies, not to reduce force structure further, but rather to be able to be spending as little as we needed to maintain the force structure that we were maintaining. We are nearing the conclusion of a review dubbed the European Infrastructure Consolidation Review. And that EIC process has identified possible sites for elimination from our inventory and possible savings. Those aren't final yet, and there's a long process there. I think that what we learned from this analysis is a couple different things. One, because we did it maintaining constant force structure, the argument that was made at the by Congress at the beginning of all of this, you see the flaws in it, in that by reducing infrastructure here, we're not bringing anybody else back home. Therefore, it doesn't take pressure off of a domestic BRAC, off the need for a domestic BRAC. It's still a useful analysis, but it just doesn't accomplish that particular goal. I think the other thing that we realize is that that operational theaters are different than domestic bases. You have dynamics such as the need to maintain surge capability for operational plans. You have the diplomatic relations with individual countries that are vital and our interests there. You have the fact that people have been doing things and making infrastructure adjustments all along, because you don't need congressional authority to change your force structure overseas. And so the landscape that we were looking at as we dug into it was fundamentally different. So I think that all of those are lessons that we're taking away from this exercise.
So how has that message, we've learned lessons, but it's not the same domestically as it is overseas, how has that message played on Capitol Hill?
We haven't yet transmitted our final answers yet, our report results, so I don't want to characterize how they're going to receive them. But there's two pieces of this, I think. One, because of the operational nature of the theater and the current events in the Ukraine, I think that the pressure for closing bases in Europe is going to change. And so that will be a lens through which anything we suggest is seen. I think that fundamentally, this was raised in part to try and reduce pressure on a domestic BRAC, which it doesn't do. So I don't know that it accomplishes the goal in that context. You're gonna see. So I don't know what I don't want to prejudge the reaction to what we're going to send up there, but fundamentally, I think that the conversation is going to turn back to BRAC.
The preliminary tools that are included in the markup that we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. If you get those, and if they are, as you specified, the first steps toward potentially doing a round in 2017. It would seem that you would be confident in the case that you could make once you conduct that analysis and present it back to Congress.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, a couple things. One, I think we can probably do the studies they ask for an independent. We're just always sensitive about starting BRAC without BRAC authority. So they're telling us to do it, and so that's a clear signal. And it will save us some time. I think it's also I want to make sure that it's clear. The department believes that we already have a clear case for BRAC, independent of doing these excess analyses, because we have data from the last BRAC round. We know how much we closed in the last BRAC round, and we know how much force structure we've cut since the last BRAC round. And the math is fairly straightforward in that context, and that there is still room to conduct another BRAC round. But that all said, I think that it's important to be able to have Congress telling us to do certain pieces of the process, the sort of initial pieces of the process. I think it's important to have that general consensus that we should do that. And it will give our guys a taste for what's to come.
What markers should we be watching? What should we be thinking about or looking at, not just necessarily in the committees or in the budget, but regarding the concept of a BRAC in the coming months, years? What else should we watch?
I think from a political point of view, the conversation that Mr. Smith is starting is going to be very important. From a political point of view, the results of the studies that we'll do as a result of the House marks, it will be important. It'll be important to watch what happens in the Senate. I think that the additional pressure that will be brought as force structure cuts are identified and implemented will probably be the next major event that will create nervousness and discussion on all of these issues. When the Army has identified reductions of tens of thousands of soldiers that will be occurring, but they haven't identified where they're going to be cut from. I think that can't help but be part of this conversation. And I think that will be coming this year.
One final question on a personal note. You have some beautiful baseballs on your bookshelf back there. Is there a story to any of them?
I am now and have always been a big Red Sox fan.
I'm very sorry to hear that, sir.
And for a long time, it was one of those things that I was very sorry about too. But then, then we finally got a taste of what it was like to win a World Series, and then
yes.
We got a couple more, and so that kind of changes your outlook on life.
I imagine so. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.